Well, as the story goes, one day a gorilla escaped from the zoo, prompting a huge search of the neighborhood area. There were appeals on the radio, announcements on television, and in the newspapers, be on the lookout. Well, the gorilla was finally discovered a few days later in the city library, where zoo officials found him sitting at a desk in the reading room with two books spread out in front of him. The gorilla was deep in concentration. One book was the Bible. The other book, one on evolution written by Charles Darwin. The zookeepers asked the gorilla what in the world he thought he was doing. And the gorilla replied, "I'm just trying to figure out whether I'm my brother's keeper or my keeper's brother." Oh, you did good. Bethel wasn't awake yet at 8:30. Well, all humor aside, it seems that throughout our lives, we seek to identify who we truly are, because we are all unique individuals, right? But in life, we encounter different people and experiences that shape the story of our life. If you were to name some core foundational truths about yourself, what would they be? Well, as I thought about this question for myself, these images came to mind. Proud of my Norwegian ancestry, I am a North Dakota farmer's daughter who grew up loving the land. This makes me a nature girl at heart, whether I'm hiking in the great outdoors or whether I'm gardening in my backyard. I seek to live in harmony and appreciation for God's creation. People are important to me. Being connected to others is important. My faith is my bedrock. My trust and faith in my Creator are central to how I experience and live my life. These are all parts of my story, my foundational truths. How about you? What are your foundational truths? Are you a native Rosarite? Or did you move here from other places? Does your blood run green because you are a Roso Ram through and through? I might take an educated guess that many of you enjoy a good hockey game. Maybe you love the outdoors and live for those moments when you can be at the lake or in the woods. Perhaps there's nothing you enjoy so much as a good card game and some food with family and friends. Maybe a teacher or a neighbor or a relative had a huge impact on your life. Maybe there was a dramatic event in life. It completely changed how you view yourself and your world. And if you're here on a kind of stormy January day, I'd be willing to guess that maybe your faith shapes a lot of who you are as well. Well, Jesus' identity was God's son, but we also confess that he was fully human, right? Even though divine, Jesus knew the normal daily experiences and joys and frustrations of being human. He knew what it was to be born to loving, nurturing parents. He was shaped by the fear and doubt his parents must have felt at being refugees trying to escape from the murderous King Herod. Jesus, no doubt, worked at the family carpentry shop, filling orders right alongside Joseph. Jesus was a son, a brother, a neighbor, a valued contributing member of the Nazareth community. We know these stories to be early foundational stories of Jesus' life. But the scriptures really don't spend a lot of time on those stories. Of course, the Christmas gospel in Luke chapter 2 shares that traditional story of Jesus' birth, as well as his presentation in the temple as a newborn. Matthew chapter 2 just briefly mentions the Holy Family's hurried journey to Egypt, away from the danger of King Herod. The Gospel of Luke also gives us that famous story when Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was lost. They had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they couldn't find him among friends and relatives traveling homeward. So they go back to Jerusalem, and there he is, 12-year-old Jesus, sitting in the temple courts among the teachers. Well, today's story, the story of Jesus' baptism by the River Jordan, is different because it is recorded in all three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we could say that most stories of Jesus' life are just simple, quick snapshots, whereas the story of Jesus' baptism is a portrait. The gospel writers don't want us to miss this particular story. Luke chapter 3 sets the stage for us today. There's a crowd at the River Jordan in the presence of Jesus' eccentric, flamboyant cousin, John the Baptist. This light is giving me issues today. Well, people find his message pretty different from the norm. He's so immediate and direct. John's words truly stir the heart and heighten one's spiritual imagination. Luke tells us the people that day that were gathered were filled with expectation. But John knew he needed to shift his gaze away from himself, shift the crowd's gaze away to the one who was coming after. John's baptism was one of repentance, calling people to turn from their sin and prepare to receive the coming Messiah. Jesus' baptism would be one of the Holy Spirit and fire, foreshadowing the coming of the Holy Spirit to Christ's followers at Pentecost. I do think it's interesting that there's no big announcement of Jesus' presence that day. He was just there in the crowd, just hanging out, part of the gathered community. And Luke tells us that Jesus was baptized right along with everyone else in the crowd. It was then that things really began to happen. As Jesus was praying, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as a visible presence in the form of a dove. A voice from heaven is heard, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." What a picture this creates in our minds. Just imagine the waters of the Jordan being poured over Jesus and water streaming over his head, running in little rivulets down his hair and in his beard. Now think of God's words pouring out over Jesus. "You are my son, my beloved. I am pleased with you." Literally, the translation states, "I take delight in you." This baptism story is the foundational story that shapes our Lord's true identity for his life and ministry to come. Out of this story flows everything that Jesus is and was and will be. Well, now, the scene at your baptism probably looked a little different than the one we just described from Luke. We seldom hear of baptisms along a lake or or a river, although Pastor Dave once had the experience of baptizing a young woman at a lakeside. Your baptism probably happened more like my own, gathered with family around a pedestaled font holding a bowl of water. The heavens probably didn't break open with a descending dove or a resonant voice saying favor and blessing over you as you were baptized. And yet, the foundational truth of each of our baptisms is the same as our Lord's. The water still washes over us, running across our heads, wetting our forehead and hair. The baptismal waters mark us, claim us, give us an identity to cherish. And on our forehead is traced that sign of the cross. We find ourselves a part of God's cherished family, and God's Spirit takes up residence in our hearts. Through the gift of our baptism, God calls us his beloved. He delights in each of us as a cherished daughter or son. This is the story that undergirds each of our lives as the people of God, that gives us meaning and purpose, fulfillment. It is out of this foundational story of baptism that flows the shape and dimension of our life and ministry as God's own children, called into a life of service and love. The really good news, though, is that God doesn't leave it there at the font. Maybe you've heard that saying, "Do you love me or do you not? You told me once, but I forgot." As humans, we thrive on relationship. We need to know that we're loved and cared about, cared for. In a marriage relationship, we need to be reassured of our life partner's love and commitment to us. Loving words and actions shared together matter. In a friend or family relationship, we want to rest in the knowledge that we share something significant with one another. Time spent together is important. Listening to one another is vital. Affirming words and actions matter. Our relationship with God is no different. God desires to wash his love and purpose over us throughout our lives. God wants to baptize you again and again, to immerse you in his Spirit, to fill you with grace and love, to equip you for the work he has before you. This is why God has given us his word, to meditate on it, soak it in, pray over it, wrestle with it. This is why we need to pause in God's presence, lifting our concerns, our joys, our hopes to him in prayer. This is why it's so good for us to gather together to praise God and meditate on his grace through time spent in worship. This is why we need that tangible presence of Christ when we share his body and blood at the Lord's table on communion Sundays. God has provided us with so many wonderful ways to sustain and deepen our relationship with him. Again and again, God comes to us, invites us, and desires us to share this message to us. You are my beloved. You are my child. I love you. I am so pleased you are part of my family. As we lean into this new year, 2025, Let us live each day as God's beloved. May it be the foundational story that we live out each day in our lives. Let this be the reason we get up in the morning and the truth we rest in as we sleep each night. Amen. May it be so.